Hebrews 12, verse 17, from John Owen's Commentary on Hebrews. For you know how that afterward, when he, that is Esau, would have inherited the blessing, Esau was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, so he sought it carefully with tears. The efficacy of the example proposed consists in the due consideration of the consequent of the sin exemplified. Such was the sin of Esau, which you ought to watch against in yourselves and others, for you know what ensued thereon. This, a particular 4, declares to be the reason of the following account of it. The ways expressed in which they understood this consequent of Esau's sin, you know, they knew it from the Scripture where it is recorded. He supposes them acquainted with the Scriptures and what is contained in them, as they were in like manner, as he says of Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, as it is the duty of all Christians to be. Besides, there is a peculiar force of persuasion and conviction when we argue from men's own knowledge and concessions. You know this yourselves. You know it full well from the Scripture, and therefore let it be of great weight and consideration with you. The general force of the exhortation from the consideration of the event of Esau's profaneness is taken from the surprise that befell him when he found what his sin had brought him to. For he is represented as a man under great amazement, as if he had little thought to fall into such a condition. And thus at one time or another it will befall all profane persons who have refused the mercy and privileges of the gospel. They shall at one time or other fall under dreadful surprisals in life or at death or at the last day. Then shall they see the horror of those crimes which before they made nothing of. Therefore the Hebrews are here warned, and all professors of the gospel with them, that they don't decline from their profession lest they fall into the like surprises, when it is too late to seek for deliverance out of them. What he did upon the surprisal, with the effects of it, are declared. 1. The time in which he did it is noted. It was afterward. This afterward was not less, perhaps, than 40 or 50 years, for he sold his birthright when he was young. Now, when he designed the receiving of the blessing, Isaac was old, merely about 140 years old, Genesis 27:2. So long did he live in his sin without any sense of it or repentance for it. Prospered in the world, and he had no regard in the least of what he had done or of what would be the end of it. But now, falling into a new distress, it fills him with perplexity. And so it is with all secure sinners. While things go along prosperously with them, they can continue without remorse. But at one time or other, their iniquity will find them out, Genesis 42:21-22. Secondly, what he designed, and that was to inherit the blessing. He would have inherited the blessing. He esteemed himself the presumptive heir of the patriarchal blessing, and did not know that he had virtually renounced it and meritoriously lost it by selling his birthright. So the apostle here distinguishes between the birthright and the blessing. He sold the birthright, but would have inherited the blessing, esteemed it to belong to him by right of inheritance when he had himself destroyed that right. So he distinguished himself. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing, Genesis 27, verse 36. He had no doubt an apprehension that there were many excellent things contained in it, especially a flourishing state and condition in this world, and a multiplication of posterity and power over enemies, which were expressed in the promises made to Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 17. This made him put in his claim for the blessing, without the least sense of the spiritual privileges of it, for he was a profane person. And in this he was a type of the unbelieving Jews at that time, for they adhered to the outward things of the blessing, the carcass of it, unto the rejection of him who was the whole life, soul, and power of it. And it is not unusual that men should earnestly desire the outward privileges of the church, who value not the inward grace and power of them, but they are profane persons. 3. The event of this attempt was that he was rejected. He was reprobated, so translators generally. Not that his eternal reprobation is here intended, but this open solemn rejection of him from the covenant of God and the blessings of it was an evidence of his being reprobated of God, whence he is proposed as a type of the reprobates, Romans 9, 11, and 12. But the refusal of his father to give him the patriarchal blessing is that which is here intended. Number four, there is his behavior under this rejection in the event of it. He sought it diligently with tears, but he found no place for repentance, for that which the apostle intends fell out after his rejection when his father had declared to him that his blessing was gone forever. Genesis 27, verses 33 to 38. It is all one whether we refer it to mean, in the close of the verse, to the remote antecedent, the blessing, or to the next, which is repentance. For that which he sought for in repentance, namely the repentance of his father, or the changes of his mind, was a blessing also. For it is now generally agreed by all that there is nothing in the words which should in the least intimate that he sought of God the grace of repentance, nor is there anything in the record that looks that way. And I shall rather interpret this word with Beza of the blessing than of the repentance of Isaac, because his cry in the story was immediately and directly for the blessing. The manner how he sought the blessing is that he did it diligently with tears. So the apostle expresses a record, Genesis 27, verse 38. And Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. As well as also of verse 34, no man, considering the intense affections that were between them, can express that conflict of nature which was on this occasion between Isaac and Esau. But in the one, grace and submission to the will of God overcame all natural reluctancy, and the other, resolution for further sin, offered itself for relief. He said in his heart that he would slay his brother, verse 41. So it is in all like cases. Things that are most terrible and convulsive to nature and them that believe are brought into order in due time by grace and resignation to the will of God. And on the other hand, sin with its deceitful contrivances will not cease to offer its relief to unbelievers in distress until all hopes are cut off and vanish forever. But because here is an appearance of somewhat more than ordinary severity in the peremptory denial of a divine blessing to one who so earnestly sought and cried for it, the manner of his seeking must be considered. He did it when it was too late, for he had not only forfeited his right to it long before and lived in impenitency under that forfeiture, but the sacred investiture of another in that blessing was solemnly passed, which could not be recalled. So Isaac says, even under his surprise, "I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed," Genesis 27, verse 33. Whatever men may pretend, whatever presumptuous sinners may flatter themselves with, there is a limited time of the dispensation of grace beyond which men shall not be admitted to a participation of it, nor shall ever use the right way of attaining it. And this they may do well to consider who spend their lives in continual procrastination of their conversion to God. They may live, yet their time may be past, and a caveat entered against them, that they shall never enter into God's rest. Hebrews 3:11-15, with the exposition of that. He sought it not at all in a due manner. Outward vehemency and expressions and tears may be influenced by such considerations as not to be an evidence of inward sincerity. He didn't seek it of God, but only of him that was a minister of it. And according to the law of God's institution, the ministers of gospel blessings may be limited from a communication of them, but there is no law or bounds put to the infinite treasures of divine goodness, if application be made to it in a due manner. But he sought the end without the means. He would have the blessing, but he didn't use the means for the attaining of it, namely faith and repentance. For notwithstanding all his sorrow and trouble upon his disappointment, he entertained no thought about any repentance in himself, for he immediately fell into a resolution to follow Cain in his rejection and to kill his brother. Yet in this lies a great folly that the generality of men are betrayed into through the deceitfulness of sin, namely, that they would have the end, the blessing of mercy and glory, without the use of the means in faith, repentance, and obedience. But it is in vain to desire or endeavor a separation of those things which God, by an immutable constitution, has conjoined and put together. Lastly, the reason of this event is expressed. He found no place for repentance. That is, notwithstanding his pretended right, his claim of it, his earnestness with tears about it, notwithstanding the inexpressible affection of Isaac to him, and his trembling surprisal at an apprehension that he had missed the blessing, yet Isaac did not, could not, might not change his mind to repent him of what he had done in conferring the blessing on Jacob, which God approved of. This sad event had the profaneness of Esau. And we may observe, observation one, this example of Esau cuts off all hopes by outward privileges where there is an inward profaneness of heart. He had as much to plead for the blessing and as fair a probability for the attaining it as ever any profane hypocrite can have in this world. And observation two, profane apostates have a limited season only in which the recovery of the blessing is possible. For although here be no intimation of a man seeking of repentance from God in a new manner, and being rejected, which is contrary to the nature of God, who is the rewarder of all that diligently seek him, yet there is an indication of severity in leaving men in an irrecoverable condition, even in this life, or guilty of such provocations. Ordinance for the preservation of them that believe in the edification of the whole church, Romans 11, verse 22. Observation 4, sin may be the occasion of great sorrow where there is no sorrow for sin, as it was with Esau. Men may rue that in the consequences of it, which yet they like well enough in the causes of it. Observation 5, no man knows in which a deliberate sin may lead him, nor what will be the event of it. Esau little thought, when he sold his birthright, that he had utterly forfeited the eternal blessing. Observation 6, profaneness and despising spiritual privileges is a sin that God at one time or other will testify his severity against. Yea, this, on many accounts, is a proper object of God's severity. It shall not be spared in the eldest son and most dearly beloved of an Isaac. And 7, steadfastness and faith with submission to the will of God will establish a soul in those duties which are most irksome to flesh and blood. Nothing could prevail with Isaac to change his mind when he knew what was the will of God?